Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua, Israel Now Ministry. Just wanted to, first and foremost, give all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. Give a few brief announcements, which is wanted to invite everyone to our holy convocation that we hold each and every Sabbath day. Located in Cincinnati, Ohio. The address is 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, starting at 2 p.m. each and every Sabbath day. Also, our congregation in Fort Worth, Texas, which is also every Sabbath day, 11 a.m. at 2700 Village Creek Drive, Fort Worth, Texas. If you have any questions and want to visit, you know, just if you're friends on the Facebook page, hit us with an inbox and we'll get you the details. Also, we're having a summer fellowship coming up very soon, June the 28th. So, again, you know, for all the people who are friends of Israel Now on Facebook, just hit us with an inbox. We can get you all the details. Things like that, but June the 28th in Cincinnati, Ohio, having a summer fellowship. It's going to be Israelites from all over the country coming, so you definitely want to be there. Don't want to miss it. You know, it's always a great time and a great event. You know, we do a lot of different things, fun things for the children, different events going on, many different places to see. One thing we're going to go to is the Hebrew Union College located in Cincinnati. Little do a lot of people know that there are only 4 Hebrew Union colleges in the entire world. One is in New York, one is in Los Angeles, one is in Jerusalem, and the other one is in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's something that a lot of people don't know, so we're going to visit that place as well. We're going to have a great time on the Sabbath day, great time on Friday, you know, with plenty of music, singing praises to the Most High Yahweh, plenty of brotherhood, sisterhood. You know, you don't want to miss it because we make connections with people that these are continued connections throughout the years, you know, that we are always connecting with our people, you know. If you're a single sister looking for a husband, you know, that may happen as well. We actually had a wedding at one of the gatherings. Our brother Joseph married a couple, so definitely. We also, for those that want to be baptized, most of the gatherings we do baptize as well. So it's just going to be a great spiritual time. You don't want to miss it. And hopefully by the next show, I'll give more of the details. I'll give the exact days of everything by next Monday's show. It's not until June the 28th, so we have time. So starting next week, for those that may be wondering, I'll give all the exact details on the show starting next week. As far as the times of each day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we may be starting Thursday, I'm not sure. But for sure, it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll give the times and exactly what will be going on. I'll list the whole itinerary starting next week. Should be able to have it next week. And also, I'll list the, you know, the address of the facility will be the hotel, and that a lot of people coming from out of town will be at, and different things like that. So just in case many people was wondering, so just hold off on to that until next week. I should be able to have all of those details for you. So let me see if I covered everything. Also, please, everybody, subscribe to our YouTube page. We're starting to put some more videos up there now, Israel Now with 2 W's. Also, Sound Doctrine Association page. Starting to work on those videos as well. You know, everything is in the process. Everything is starting to move. So just keep checking those pages for more scriptural information. Sound Doctrine is what we endeavor to bring every single time we come to the microphone to teach the scriptures that the Almighty had inspired us to deliver to his people. So with that being said, I think I pretty much covered everything. Just want to kind of get right into some scriptures that I will deal with. First and foremost, I'm going to go to the call lines before we do that. They're going to have a caller online with their hand up. So area code 513, shalom, shalom, you're on the air. Shalom, can you hear me? Area code 513-236, or maybe you hit one by accident, so I'll mute your mic again. All right, so if it was an accident, then just push one, and it'll take you off my queue, and then push one again, and you'll come back on, and I could get you on. But, with that being said, just I'm going to kind of talk to y'all today a little bit about the Messiah's walk. You know, I kind of entitled this walk as the Messiah walked. You know what I mean? And it's definitely something because me and some of my brothers have been talking. My brother's in Fort Worth, Texas. My Patrick, also known as Malachi, and my brother Elishua. We've been having a few conversations, and we just been talking about really seeking the lost sheep of Israel because that's what the Messiah did. You know, he showed us what to do in his walk, and he definitely sought after the lost among our people, you know. And anyone, when we say the lost, we're talking about anyone of any denomination or people of no denomination. Anyone that does not keep the commandments of the Almighty that's an Israelite is lost. So with that being said, you know, just trying to search and seek out the lost among our people, you know, whether they're in whatever Christian denomination or whatever they may be in, or whether they're a non-denominational Christian, a witness, a Catholic, or whatever. Those among our people are considered the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because they're not keeping the Almighty's commandments, which is one of the major things that is required for salvation. If you're not walking in the path of salvation, then you're lost. So I'm going to start out with some scriptures, and then I may touch on some other things as well, you know. But with that being said, I'm going to just go to book of Luke chapter 13. Let me go here. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to start reading at the 10th verse. Read down a little bit. And as always, as the Almighty says throughout the scriptures, with all you're getting, get understanding. So this is something that I think will be good for a lot of our brothers and sisters that are Christians, a lot of our family members, a lot of, you know, people who are not aware of this awakening going on in these last days of the true children of Israel all around the world. And mainly I'm going to just deal with this country, you know, all over America. The true children of Israel is waking up to our nationality, you know, and those that have not done the research, those that have not studied the scriptures, those that have not looked at the archaeology, those that have not looked into the Hebrew, those that have not done any manner of research, label us as a cult. But everyone that have done the research will say what they're saying is the truth, you know, so that's how you have to look at things, you know what I mean? Our people have to come out of traditionalism and come into truth. And a lesson like what I'm going to present today is inspired to help to push our people to do that. So those of y'all that have Christian family members, just we could get them this, this teaching, have them listen to it, have them call in. We'll play it back for them or something like that, because we're going to stay in the New Testament today, pretty much. We're going to hit the Old Testament a little bit, but mostly we're going to stay in the New Testament, because our people have been brainwashed to believe only the New Testament is the only book that matters. So we're going to meet them where they at. So Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 10, says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no way lift up herself. And when Yahawashah saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified Elohim. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Yahawashah had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Messiah and the Master, or it says, and the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? Verse 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejected for all the glorious things that were done by him. So what is the moral of this, of what we're seeing? We're seeing that we know the commandment says not to work on the Sabbath day. But as the Messiah always told us, you can do good on the Sabbath day. You can do lawful type of work on the Sabbath day. It's any type of healing people, any type of, any type of what we call humanitarian type of things, humanitarian type of work. All spiritual work is done on the Sabbath day, you know. So we do work on the Sabbath day, you know, teaching is work. When you're actually teaching the scriptures, as we can see throughout these scriptures, every Sabbath day, you know, the people would teach. But that is work. But these are the type of work that can be done on the Sabbath day, you know, from singing songs to the Most High, to teaching, to all these things, to bring glory and honor to the Almighty. Because the Almighty's will is to not that the wicked should be destroyed, but that the wicked should repent and turn into Him. But it's up to them, because He made us free moral agents. And if we choose not to as individuals, then you're going to suffer the punishment. All right. So this scripture is in no way used to say do not keep the Sabbath, because that's what they were doing in the first place. When we started reading the verse 10, it said, and He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. That's what He was doing. Right. Teaching is a sort of work. But this is the type of work you can do on the Sabbath day. All right, when we're using line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, which means we read different scriptures and we put it all together. But notice where they were at. They were teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's exactly what we do. And every time we do it, we say we're going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Our people that don't know about anything but traditionalism, they say we're in a cult. They say, what do you mean synagogue? Why do you call into the synagogue? Because we read the scriptures. That's why. Right? So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. So as we see throughout the scriptures, the people go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This is the place of worship that the Almighty had for the people. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, and the Almighty currently has for the people a synagogue, a true synagogue. Let's look at verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So this is kind of like do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A lot of people don't know that that principle is in the scriptures, but that's it, what we just read. As he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So if you don't want nobody to do nothing to you, then don't do nothing to them. Pretty much saying, treat your brother the way that you want to be treated. Treat your sister the way that you want to be treated. And when we take that principle and we think about that and we meditate on that and we actually use that before we speak and we use that before we make actions, then everything, a lot of problems will be solved among our people, right? A lot of problems will be solved among our people. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Let's go here. Now, who is the true followers of Christ? Let's see. Because to be a follower of someone means you follow behind their footsteps. If they do something, then you do it. The way that they do it is the way that you do it. The time that they did it is the time that you do it. The places they go is the places that you go. Now, let's see who's the true follower of the Messiah. It says in the 16th verse, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So this is talking about Christ here, because if you back up to the 14th verse, it lets you know, it says, and Yahushua returned in the power and the spirit into Galilee. So when you go to the 16th verse, it's telling you where he went. He went into where? Into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And again, every single time we say, hey, we're keeping the Sabbath, all our people know of it's Sunday, right? And they say, where are you going? We're going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And it sounds so foreign to them. Why? Because they've been going to church for all of these years, and they watch the man on stage dancing and shouting and teaching them no truth. That's why. But the scriptures plainly say that the place that the righteous go is to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. All right. So let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. So all we're doing is we're walking even as he walks. We're walking as the Messiah walked. The Messiah laid the path, and we're just following in his footsteps. That's all we're doing. So if they're going to tell you that a Christian means a follower of Christ, then those of us who know that we're Israelites and profess to be Israelites, we're the only followers of Christ. We're the only ones that are actually walking in his footsteps. Because what I read so far is that the Messiah went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The witnesses don't do that. The people that knock on your doors on Saturday morning, they don't do that. The Baptists don't do that. The Catholics don't do that. The Presbyterians don't do that. You know, the Episcopalians don't do it. The Mormons don't do it. And we can go down the line. All right? So, where am I at? The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Let's look at the 15th verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So it says the Messiah was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. Right? So, how was he without sin? Because he did what we read in the previous verse. Because he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, meaning he kept the Sabbath day holy. Now, if he did not go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he did not keep the Sabbath day holy, then he would have been with sin. Because that is a sin if you do not do that. The Almighty commanded us to keep the Sabbath day holy. And what does that mean? He commanded us to have a holy convocation on the Sabbath day. What is a holy convocation? The word convocation means gathering. He commanded us to have a holy gathering on the Sabbath day. And what is the Sabbath day? The seventh day of the week, according to the Ten Commandments, according to the book of Genesis chapter 2. It says the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, which is the day that we call Saturday. So the Almighty commanded us to come together every seventh day of the week. And the Messiah did that. And the fact that he did it, and he was sinless, and we walk in his footsteps because we're trying to be like Christ, and we want to be like Christ because he's our example, right? But 99.9% of the churches don't do that. They go out shopping on the Sabbath day. They do whatever they want to do on the Sabbath day, which is against what the Messiah did, which is against what Christ did. So if we're in a cult, then Christ is in a cult, right? Because we are following in his footsteps. We didn't make this stuff up. We got it from the Messiah. We read what the Messiah did, and we followed suit and did the same thing. But when Christ did it, they say, oh, yeah, it's okay. But when we do it, they say you're in a cult. Right. This is what's wrong with our people. And this is why our people are continuously being downtrodden, continuously being victimized by all other nations, because the Almighty is our power and the Almighty is our strength. And you won't allow the Almighty to help us, because the way the Almighty helps us is when we keep his commandments. But you won't allow the Almighty to help us. You won't let the Almighty help us. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to come back to Luke 4. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 22. Let's read verses 34 through 46. So give me a second to get there. But it's Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 34 through 46, and give me a second. make sure this is where I want to start. Give me a second. Okay. Starting in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jehoshaphat said unto him, Thou shalt love Jehovah thy Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jehoshaphat asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, Jehoshaphat said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So this is very powerful because this is actually what's happening in the Israelite communities today. Right now, today, the question that they ask him, or the question that he asked them and their response, and they went away and nobody else asked him any more questions. This is a major thing that's going on right now in the Israelite community today. They're saying, is the Messiah David's son? Whose son is he? And this and that. And how is he a descendant of David? But at the same time, David called him Lord and different things like that, because they don't understand the Messiah's preexistence. And then they don't understand that the Messiah came to earth through the lineage of David as a man. And all of the messianic prophecies testify to that fact. All of the messianic prophecies testify to that fact. You know, so that's something that our people have to wrap their mind about. Everybody got glimpses of it, but they don't have it in truth. You know, because some people were saying, okay, he the Messiah, but he was actually Joseph's son by natural birth, meaning, you know, Joseph and Mary laid together and had the Messiah. The scriptures don't say that. The scriptures say the opposite of that, you know. So everybody is trying to figure this whole thing out. And how does David come into play and different things like that? Maybe one day in the future we'll do a whole breakdown on the whole David thing and what's David's position versus Yahweh's position and how it all fits together like a piece of a puzzle. Because what we do is we accept the whole truth. We accept all scripture, and we put it together. We know how to put it together as putting a puzzle together, you know, which you will find that a lot of brothers who are Tanakh only, they're going to read scriptures to you about King David, and they're going to accept that. But then when you read scriptures in the Old Testament about a descendant of David, they don't accept those scriptures. You know, likewise, a lot of Messianic brothers will read scriptures in the Old Testament about a descendant of David, but they won't accept the scriptures about David. Well, what we do at Israel now, we accept all of them, and they all fit together perfectly like a piece of the puzzle. So, but that's just something to touch on, you know, since we came to this scripture. But let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we're going to start reading at the 23rd verse. When we get there, John, the 12th chapter. And verse 23. And Jehoshaphat answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. All right, so we see that. He says very, very clearly, if any man follow me, he's going to be where I am. All right, look at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard of it and said, it thundered. And others said, an angel spake unto him. Yahawashah answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. All right. So the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. But I want to touch on this verse that we read previously where he says, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. So we are the servants of the Almighty. We are the true servants of the Almighty. Those of us who are Messianic Israelites, meaning we know our heritage is an Israelite by birth, and we are Messianic, meaning we believe in a Messiah and we're followers of the true Messiah whose true name is Yahawashah, right? We are the true followers of the Messiah. We are the true followers. And how do we know? Because, again, we already read scriptures of what he did, and we do the same thing. Well, let's read some more. Let's check out Book of John chapter 7. Let's go there. John chapter 7. And we'll start at verse number 1. John 7 and verse 1. Well, actually, I'm going to just skip down to the, I'll start at verse 2. It says, now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. So, talking about the feast of tabernacles. All right. Now let's drop down to verse 8. The Messiah says here, go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. So he instructed his disciples to go up to the feast. But he said, I'm not going up with you yet because my time is not yet come. Because as we read through the chapter, we find out because the other Jews were trying to kill the Messiah, right? So he had to just be low-key and hide out about it. So that's why he didn't go up with his disciples, because if they would have seen the disciples, then they would have knew, like, okay, well, he's always with them, so he must be around too, you know. But what did he do? He actually risked his life at this time to keep the feast, because he went up to the feast. Why? Because that was a commandment. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, so let's keep reading and find that out. Look at verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were going up, then went he also unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he went up to the feast still, but he went in secret. So the other people that were trying to kill him didn't find even kill him. But he went to the feast. And what feast did he go to? Read verse 2 again. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Is your church keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? Or do your church keep Halloween? Or do your church keep Holy Wing, what they call it? Or do your church keep Trunk or Treat? Because the Feast of Tabernacles falls around that same time of year where these false pastors have the people keeping some form of Halloween. It doesn't matter if they change the name, still kept Halloween. And Halloween is about evil spirits. It's about conjuring up the dead. It's about doing all type of things that the Most High commanded us not to do. How can you do that in the so-called church and the so-called place of worship? But the true believers of the Messiah, during that same time period that y'all keep a Halloween just like the rest of the world, guess what we're doing? keeping the Feast of Tabernacles exactly as the Messiah did, exactly as Christ did, and he went up and risked his life to do that. But yet and still, our people that are lost, that's why the scripture said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. Every time you keep in Halloween, trick-or-treat, trunk-or-treat, whatever you want to call it, you let some man that's already blind lead you and you blind, and you're both going to fall into a ditch. And what is that ditch called? The lake of fire. That's what that ditch is called. You know, so our people need to learn to fear the Almighty. When you fear the Almighty, then you're going to consider things. You're going to consider what I'm saying tonight. You're going to consider that I'm not really saying anything, but I'm reading the word that you claim to go by. I'm actually reading the word that you claim is the word of God. These are not my words. These are the Messiah's words. And according to the book of Revelation, he has the keys to the kingdom. He has the keys. He was the only one that was worthy to open the book of life. Do you want your name in the book of life? Well, you got to follow what the Messiah did. We know that the Messiah went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So all of y'all listening to me in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, we got a synagogue that we meet every Sabbath day. It's at 270 Northland Boulevard. If you want to truly follow Christ and stop following tradition, that's where you'll be this Saturday at 2 p.m. If you want to keep following Satan's way and you want to keep following stuff that people made up and you want to keep following things that the Almighty told us not to, then you'll be keep doing what you've been doing. Because all of the Almighty's words don't come back void. And know that. That's how we ended up in captivity in the first place. That's why we're still in captivity. And these curses keep reciprocating on our people. And we don't take heed. And we don't wonder. And we don't listen. So, that being said, let's read Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staffs, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Verse 49. Forthwith he came to Yahawashah and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Verse 50. And Yahawashah said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Yahawashah and took him. All right, so we see, according to the 26th verse, or the, actually I read the 26th chapter instead of the 12th chapter, but let's go to the 12th chapter of Matthew now. Matthew 12 and verse 46 through 50. I actually read the wrong verse. All right, so here we go. Matthew 12, starting at verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So the Messiah says here, Look, if you do the will of my Father You are my mother, and you are my brother, and you are my sister. These are my family members. And we know that to be the case. We know that's real. We're making real family connections in this truth because we all have the same father named Yah, and we all have the same mother named Wah, and we all have a big brother named Yahawashah. And so we're making family connections, you know, and this is how it is, and this is how it works. So we have to be the same light. But what I want to bring out with that as well is when he said that whosoever does the will of my father, what is the will of his father? The keeping of the commandments. Just as we read the Messiah's been doing. He's been keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. He's been going to the synagogue every Sabbath day, right? So this is what the Messiah's been doing. And this is what we do also, all right? So let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's see something else the Messiah did that 99.9% of the churches are not doing. But yet and still, these are the same people that say that they follow Christ, and these are the same people that say that we don't. And these are the same people, when we show them these scriptures, they say, what is the Feast of Tabernacles? What is the Passover? What is the Sabbath day? What is all of this stuff? That's because it's the blind leading the blind. How do you go to church from year after year and you don't know what the Feast of Tabernacles is? How do you go to church from year after year and you don't know what Passover is, but you know what Easter is, which is not in the Bible? You know you're supposed to go to church on Sunday, which nowhere did the Almighty instruct us to do that in the scriptures. So you've been learning a bunch of lies, not truth. So look at Matthew 26, start at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yahawashah had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Yahawashah by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Yahawashah was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, then came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. All right, so let me drop down a little bit. I want to get to what the Messiah said to his disciples. Go to verse number 18. Watch what the Messiah said in verse 18. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. So according to this verse, the Messiah kept the Passover. Do your church keep the Passover? As soon as you go into a church, ask to see their calendar of events. It's going to tell you all the events that they got planned out for you to do all year. And if you don't see the Sabbath day on there, which we read, and if you don't see the Passover on there, which we read, and if you don't see the Feast of Tabernacles on there, which we read, turn around and go right back out the door. But instead, if you see Christmas, Easter, Sunday worship, pastor's anniversary, building fund, all of these things that are tradition, they're either going to give you tradition or they're trying to get your money. One or the two. That's it. That's all they're doing. And they'll give you a few motivational speeches, and that's it. There is no salvation in that. When the Messiah comes back and he's going to put some people on his left hand, who are the wicked people, and he going to say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, and iniquity is sin. And if you don't keep the Passover, you are a sinner. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you are a sinner. If you don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, you are a sinner. Because the sin, according to the Bible, in the book of 1 John, it says sin is the transgression of the law. And the Feast of Tabernacles is in the law. The Passover is in the law. And if you transgress it, that is a sin. So all the people, when the Messiah returns back to earth, he's going to gather up millions of people and put them on his left-hand side. And all of those millions of people, he's going to say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity is sin. and they're going to be burned up in a fire and destroyed. And when he comes back, he's going to gather a bunch of people on his right-hand side, and those people are going to be saved alive. Those people are going to receive the gift of eternal life. So do you want to be on his right side, or do you want to be on his left side? If you want to be on his right side, and start following the same walk that he walked. We don't read in this book that he kept Easter or went to church on Sunday. You didn't read that. You read he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's what we read. We read that he kept the Feast of Tabernacles with his disciples, and he kept the Passover with his disciples. That's what we read. It's very simple. The Almighty says in the scriptures he made it so plain that a fool cannot err. Right? So what's the problem? You know what the problem is? It's something called tradition. The Catholic Church did an experiment a few thousand years ago, and they figured out that tradition was stronger than truth. And they wrote about it, and they figured it out. And they figured out that they didn't have to change anything as far as the writings, because it didn't matter what the Holy Writing said. They figured out that tradition was stronger than truth. And my people is proving it every day, every single day. When we can clearly read what the Messiah did, and they claim to follow the Messiah, and they're not doing these things. But when we follow the Messiah, they say, oh, you must be in a cult. That don't make no sense. So we know from the scriptures that the other nation's goal to do to us is to keep us in sin. The other nation's goal is for us to not be keeping the Almighty's commandments. So they set up things to prevent us from keeping the Almighty's commandments. And this happens all through the book. You know, they set up things to prevent us from keeping the Almighty's commandments, because they know when we start to keep the Almighty's commandments, the Almighty will start to be with us again. The Almighty will start to fight for us again. The Almighty will start to bless us again, and all these different things. So, with that being said, I'm going to end it here about 10 minutes early. But again, don't forget about joining us every Monday. Try to stay diligent with this thing. Don't forget about the summer gathering that we're having. It's going to be a great thing. It's put on by the House of Yah of Louisville, Kentucky. It's also put on by Israel Now of Cincinnati. That's our partner congregation. We're like one big congregation. But I have a caller online. Let me go to my caller. Area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, hello. Shalom, sister. Hey, shalom. Can you hear me?
Hey, can you? Yeah. Can you explain the feast that's coming up next? Talk about the feast that's coming up next.
Okay. Not a problem. All right. So I'm going to do that now before we get off.
Okay.
All right, sister. Shalom, shalom. I'm going to let y'all there.
All right. Okay.
All right. So the feast day that's coming up next is called the Feast of Weeks. Weeks. W-E-E-K-S. Is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So, when you go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, let me go there. You will find in this chapter, the Almighty mentions all of his commanded holy days, and they fall in order. Well, they're going to be mentioned in order as they fall. So I'm going to start at verse 1, so you can see, and then we'll go on down. So it says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So all of these are holy convocations. Remember I told you earlier, the word convocation means gathering. These are all the times that the Most High commanded us to gather together. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of Yahweh in all of your dwellings, a Sabbath in all of your dwellings. So no matter what land you live in, the seventh day is still the Sabbath in all of your dwellings. All right, verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. So that's what comes first, the Passover. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of Unleavened Bread comes next. And notice, remember we read earlier in Matthew 26 that the Messiah kept the Passover. He also kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but we didn't read that part. But they're both in Matthew 26. All right, so let's drop down. So after the Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then we have something called the Feast of Weeks. So let's drop down and show where we'll mention this feast. And what it's doing as far as the Feast of Weeks, it pretty much will explain to you how to count to get to the Feast of Weeks. Because the Feast of Weeks is different in this way than all the other holy days in this chapter. And this is the way that it's different. Every other holy day has, besides the Sabbath is every seventh day. But the rest of the holy days have a date attached to them, meaning the Passover is the 14th day of the first month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the 15th day of the first month. Okay, the Feast of Weeks doesn't have a date attached to it. It doesn't say it's this month and this day. It's just a certain way you have to count to know when it is. And we're going to read that in a second. But after the Feast of Weeks, in the same chapter of Leviticus, so, you know, at your leisure time, just read this whole entire chapter, and this chapter will give you all seven of the feasts that the Almighty commanded us to do. And the Messiah did all of these feasts, okay? So the other one, after the Feast of Weeks, we have the Feast of Trumpets, which is the first day of the seventh month, and so on and so on. Everyone has a calendar date attached to them. But now let's look at this Feast of Weeks and show you that there's no calendar date attached to it, but he tells you how to get to, how to number it so you know when this feast falls. And this will be coming up soon in about a couple of weeks, which we'll be keeping. But also, I'm going to start at the 15th verse. It says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So it says 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. But you start counting on the morrow after the Sabbath is when you start to count. So what does that mean? That means once you are keep the Passover, and the Passover is over, because all these feast days are connected to each other. And then you go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Once you are in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which that feast lasts 7 days, so therefore one day is going to be a Sabbath day, meaning the weekly Sabbath will fall during the Feast of Unleavened Bread on one day. And when that happens, that's when you start to count. As it says in verse 15, you count on the next day after that, because these feasts are connected. So you wait until you are in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Sabbath day comes. And once the weekly Sabbath day comes, you start counting on the morrow after the Sabbath, which will be the first day of the week. You start counting on what we call in English a Sunday. And that'll be day one. All right, and I'll explain. Let me read verse 15 again. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So you start counting on the first day of the week, and then you count 7 days to the Saturday, and that's one Sabbath. But it says 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. What is 7 Sabbaths? That's 49 days, right? Because 7 times 7 is 49. Look what it says in verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. So after those 7 Sabbaths are complete, then you count one more day to get to 50, and it will always land you on the first day of the week. All right, it says, shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh. So So this is how you count to get to the Feast of Weeks, okay? And now, you know that it must be seven Sabbaths complete. It must be a total of 50 days, and that's how you know when it is. But you start counting after the Feast of Unleavened Bread has started, and the first Sabbath day that you were within the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the very next day you start counting day one on a Sunday. 50 days complete and seven Sabbaths complete, which would take you to another, you know, a Sunday. So the Feast of Weeks will always fall on a Sunday, all right? Because it says it will be on the morrow after the set. Let me read verse 16 again. Even until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. So after that seventh Sabbath is complete, the very next day is the 50th day, which will be a Sunday. The Feast of Weeks is the holy day that always falls on a Sunday. That is the one time of the year that you know that this particular Sunday is a holy day. Not every Sunday, this Sunday, when it comes to the Feast of Weeks. All right? Now, what else do we do on the Feast of Weeks? The Feast of Weeks, we were commanded, just for the sake of time, I'll just tell the rest. We got about 3 minutes. But the Feast of Weeks, we were commanded to have a holy convocation, which means we must gather together. We were commanded not to do any work on that day. It's a one-day feast. It's not like the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It lasts 7 days. No, the Feast of Weeks only lasts one day. All right, and we were commanded not to do any work on that day. And, of course, it'll start on Saturday at sunset to Sunday at sunset. Commanded not to do any work. We were commanded to come together, and we have a feast. Okay? Now, this feast was a when we were in our own land as the people of Israel, within the land of Israel, this was one of our harvest feasts, okay? It was one of our harvests where the wheat harvest would grow, you know, so we'll have a great feast as far as that. Also, a lot of Christians may remember the book of Acts chapter 2, and this will be the last scripture that I'm going to read. Now, notice, we read about the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks, it has another name as well. It's also called the Feast of Pentecost. They're both the exact same feast. Pentecost is just the Greek name for the Feast of Weeks. And Weeks or Shavuot is just the Hebrew name for the exact same feast. And the reason it's called Pentecost, because the word Pentecost means 50. And you may remember you had to count 50 days to find out when that feast will fall. So let me go to Acts chapter 2 and pick up at verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now think about that. Why did they all come together on the Feast of Pentecost? Well, we read about that in the law in Leviticus 23, where the Most High commanded us to keep this. But now in the book of Acts chapter 2, Christ had already came. Christ had already died for the sins of the world. Christ had already, you know, been dead for 3 days and three nights. He already has risen from the dead. He's already ascended up into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. So if you believe the law is done away with, then you have to answer the question, why are the disciples coming together still keeping this same feast day that was commanded all the way back in Leviticus chapter 23? You know why they were still keeping it? Because the law not done away with for the people who the law was given to. That law is not done away with. All right? And so we know this great story in Acts chapter 2 where the tongues came and the people got the Holy Spirit. And again, don't think of it as what you see on a Sunday church. No, we're going to have to explain this whole thing. They did get the Holy Spirit, but it's not what you see on Sunday. People running around and falling and still don't keep no commandments. That's not the Holy Spirit. All right? So I'm going to leave it at that, and we'll clarify that later. But I will say this. The Spirit of the Most High endows you with power, enables you to be able to resist temptation and keep commandments. That's the power that endows you with. The Spirit of the Almighty also leads and guides you into all truth. So if you don't have no truth, you can't say you have the Holy Spirit, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide you into all truth. So with that being said, I just want to say join us next Sunday. Sunday, 9 p.m. Sorry, next Monday, 9 p.m. Israel Now Radio. Shalom, shalom.